God is good. Always keeping the main thing, thanking God for Jesus Christ, thanking God for the Holy Spirit, thanking God for his angels, thanking God for the church, thanking God for this congregation, thanking God for the leaders of this congregation, thanking God for this day, another day that he's given us that he didn't have to. Why did he do it? Because he loved us so. And he wanted us to be a part, that part of the day that he would have us to be. Just like he wanted us to be, we ought to be that which he would have us. This morning, our lesson is taken from the book of Acts. It was taken from Acts 17 and 6. But I would like to read Acts 17, 1 through 11. Acts 17, 1 through 11. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath day reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must need have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogues of the Jews. These were more noble than these in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. My title this morning is A World Turned Upside Down. Acts 17 and 6 describe a situation where Paul and Silas are accused of turning the world upside down. This phrase used by those opposing their message highlight the transformation and disruptive impact the early Christian preaching had on established social and religious norms. It suggests that their message of Jesus Christ was seen as a radical challenge to the existing order. The accusation or phrase "turned the world upside down" was not a compliment, but rather an accusation leveled against Paul and Silas by those who opposed the message. The accusation was made in Thessalonica, where Paul and Silas had been preaching the gospel. The phrase implied that the apostles' preaching caused social and religious upheaval. It suggested that their message challenged the existing power structure and religious belief of them of the time. The accusation, thought negative in its intent, actually highlights the powerful impact of the gospel's message. It shows how the message of Jesus Christ was capable of turning people's lives and perspective upside down, leading to a radical change in the worldview. The accusations suggest that the early Christians' message was a direct challenge to the established order, implying that their worldview was considered upside down by those in power. Some inappropriation suggests that it was actually the accusers who had an upside down view of the world, where they thought good was evil and evil was good. You see, the Jews were satisfied with Judaism, and they were satisfied with their king Caesar. They moved with envy and rounded up some bad men and formed a mob and started a riot in the city. They broke into Jason's house, thinking that Paul and Silas were there. When they couldn't find them, they collared Jason and his friends instead and dragging them before the rulers of the city, yelling hysterically. They said, "These people are out to destroy the world, and now they have shown up on our own doorstep, attacking everything we hold dear." You see, it was then and it was now. Many people, they let the truth hurt them. Amen? The truth, if the truth hurt you, it's going to hurt you. Huh? If the truth, if God's truth hurts you, it's going to hurt you. You've heard some say that my grandma was a Baptist. My grandpa was a Baptist. My daddy was a Baptist. My mother was a Baptist. My family is a Baptist, and I'm a Baptist, and I love my family. You gonna come to my face and tell me they ain't saved? You better get to stepping. You gonna tell me they ain't saved? You know, because my grandparents has passed on. You gonna tell me they ain't in heaven? I don't know where they are. I'm talking to you. Amen? But you have some people who would get bitter because you tell them the truth, right? And they didn't want to hear that. They just know for sure, you know, that what they're doing is right. You see? And they would threaten you. Get this stepping. Because I'm about to lose my mind up in here. You see? They get upset with the truth. But the Bible teaches us that the truth will make you free. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't want to hear the truth. Are you with me? Because, you know, the truth, like I said, if the truth hurts you, it will hurt you. If the truth hurts you, it will hurt you. The truth is not supposed to hurt you. It's supposed to help us. It's supposed to shed a light on what's wrong in our lives. And when the truth shed that light, we ought to be thankful that we saw that light. Because all this time I was going in the wrong direction. All this time. And the truth has shined that light. And now I see. Can you hear them warning Paul? You need to stop teaching like that. You need to calm down, Paul. That's why you get in so much trouble. Because you teach that way. Can you hear them? Can you hear what they're saying to Paul? You know, Paul, you need to back up a little bit. Just hold on a little while. They say, I've been preaching for a long time. I've been preaching before you, Paul. And I never been ran out of any city. I've been preaching longer than you, Paul, and I've never been spoken against. I've been preaching longer than you, Paul. I've never been beaten before. I've never been thrown into prison. Paul, you have to change that way and calm yourself down before you get put down. Give the people what they want. Amen? And that's how it was. They didn't mind Paul being there, but Paul was just teaching what they don't teach. You know? You're making us look bad. Now, you know, listen, just stop that. You know, we don't want to fight you, Paul, but you can't come in there teaching that. But Paul was bringing them the truth, something that would help them, something that would get them out of the situation that they're in now. Because many folks are in situations now because they don't believe and they don't know what to believe in. Because these days you really don't know what to believe. You see, you have leaders that come up and they have these ideas of things. And we spoke about this before. They have these ideas that it's all right, you know, for children to be any kind of way they want to be. If they want to be a girl or boy, if a boy want to be a girl want to be a boy. We've been there before. And I know you said, well, Brother Pastor, you just preached on that the other day. I'm just stirring up the minds. That's all. Amen. Just stirring it up. You know, just stirring it up. This shaking things up. Are you with me? That's what Paul was doing back then. He was shaking things up when he taught over and over again. You remember just like the medication that your doctor would give you. It says for the best use. Shake well. For best use, shake well. So that's what Paul and I'm doing now. This bringing it back, amen. For best use, this shaking the place up a little bit with yesterday's message. You see, they said, Paul, you know, we don't mind you, but you need to stop that. You need to give the people what they want, you know. And let it be, you know, just let it be. I've been preaching all these years and none of these things happened to me. Nobody don't throw me out of no place. In other words, they want me to stay here. They called for me to come back. Are you with me? You know, but you come here, you know, telling them about Jesus. Yeah, you know, you ain't got to tell them about Jesus like that, you know, yeah. And you know, just the mention of Jesus' name caused some people to not want to believe because they believe in Judaism. They believe in one king, and that was Caesar. Are you with me? They believe in a king that will die, but we believe in a king that lives on and on forever. You see, in Acts 9, Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, was baptized, came straight out of the water preaching. Amen? Straight out of the water preaching Christ. He was like a hound dog sicked on a rabbit. Are you with me? How many of you know about that? Y'all don't hunt? Just like a hound dog sicked on a rabbit. That's just how Paul was. Amen? The Apostle Paul, he did exactly what God had him to do. Through the Apostle Paul, God did what we typically think is impossible. He took a nation, he took a national terrorist and turned him into a worldwide evangelist. Paul planted upward to 13 or more churches in the Middle East. And also wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen. It was mad at Paul, but Paul wasn't, you see, but Paul, he wasn't turning the world upside down. Paul was turning the world right side up because the world was already turned upside down. And just like it now, right? You know, we Christians, we try to keep it straight up, right? But the people are saying, we'd rather be upside down, Brother Pastor. You know, it's just too much. You know, it's too hard to be a Christian. You can't do nothing. You can't go no place. You know, you can't drink. You know, you can't do nothing. You know, You go over there and preach somewhere, bro, Pastor. Go over there, right? Don't preach here that way, Paul. Don't preach here that way, bro, Pastor. You see? Because, you're just making things too hard. You see, too hard. But Paul, he wasn't turning the world upside down like they thought. Paul was turning the world right side up. But he had to walk through the shadow of the valley of death to do so. It wasn't no easy task for Paul, just like it ain't going to be no easy task for us. Are you with me? We're going to tell somebody, somebody going to say, get out of my face, because you ain't coming to me telling me my loved one ain't in heaven. Are you, much as I love them, I love them. You better get out of my face before something happens. And if that happens, just leave. Don't get hit. You know, just leave. If that's what you want to believe, right? I'm done. Before you hit me, I'm done. See, I'm done. In Acts 13, because he had to go through some trouble. Paul had trouble in his way. Acts 13, 50, driven out of Antioch. Acts 14, 19, he was stoned and left for dead. Acts 16, 24, cast into prison. Me and the sister was speaking about prison this morning, right? I told her, I'm just not going to do nothing to go to prison, if I can help it, right? Because I got a form of claustrophobia. I can't stand to be cloaked, I could have met. I remember one time, and I'm just getting off a little bit. We was building a jail, right? In Sussex, I think. Sussex County jail. Right? Years ago, we was building a jail, right? And I was in, I just walked in there, right? And I said, hold up. I ain't going to do no wrong. Are you with me? To get put in something like this. For you who have been there, you know what I'm saying. Are you with me? And Paul, he was in prison writing letters, like me and the sister were speaking about. Writing letters. I mean, gospel letters. Right? Paul had the Spirit with him. I would have had to need the Spirit with me too. Amen. Amen. Acts 17, forced out of Berea and Thessalonica. Acts 23:2, he was struck in the mouth. Struck. You remember how Jesus was struck in the mouth too. Amen. And when you look, when you read about Paul and you read about Jesus, it's a kind of like a similarity there. Are you with me? We get into that one day, but it's a kind of similarity. Paul was struck in the mouth and Jesus was also. We might get struck in the mouth. If you can, before it happened, run. Don't be bad, Don't be run. You see? Because one thing I found out, like I said, I got in a stupid fight on my job now. This is my job, a stupid fight. And I figured this thing out. I said, if I had really fought back, I could have, or both of us could have. Are you with me? And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants you a place that you're going to be weak. He wants you, he wants you in prison. He wants us in a place where we're going to can't pray, where we're going to can't do what he would have us, what God would have us to do. He wants us to be in trouble like that. And I left trouble. I walked away from that fight and I felt like I was a scaredy cat, But I walked away. Are you with me? I walked away from it and I prayed. And like I told me and Brian, I told him, I said, Lord, I preach, Lord. I do all the things that you would have me to do, Lord. I said, why me, Lord? Why me? it came to me like this, sister Nancy. It said, why not you? Are you with me? Who are you? Look what they done to me, right? They smoked me in the mouth. They smoked Paul in the mouth. Acts 25, 1 through 5. They wanted to ambush Paul to kill him. They was getting serious about this thing now. They wanted to kill Paul. They wanted him dead. Are you with me? That's just how bad they didn't want Paul to teach Jesus in that territory, that particular place. They wanted him dead. That's heavy now. In Acts 23:12, the Bible says, and when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together. Listen to this now. Certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. They really wanted Paul dead. Are you with me? And today, guess what? If we keep messing with them, they're going to really want us dead. But we got to go ye therefore. Are you with me? Because that's our job. Because somebody came to us therefore. So we have to take this and go to others therefore. They wanted Paul dead because he preached Christ. Because not because he stole from them. Not because he hurt their little sister or whatever. Are you with me? Because he preached Christ. They wanted him dead for that. They wanted Christ dead for what he brought. And they so-called, they thought they killed him. But praise be to God, on that third day, Jesus got up. He got up for me and for you with all power in his hands. But Paul, let them know that ain't no stopping me now. I'm on the move. Paul said, he let them know, I have a fight that has to be fought. I have a course that I have to take. I have a race to finish. Ain't no stopping me now. You can do what you want. Are you with me? But all this writing I'm going to do, you can't stop that. Are you with me? Because when this writing get to the people, that's all I need. You know, for them to tell what I told them. Right? What Jesus told me. Can you hear Paul today telling us, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but rather after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ear, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all these things, endure affliction. In other words, we're going to go through some stuff too, some affliction too. Amen. But Paul is telling us these things throughout the years. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of the ministry, because this world need to be turned right side up. Amen. Amen. If you're here and you're not a member of the church, there's some steps you must take. You must take it. And I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Right? You must take. You must hear God's word. You must believe God's word. You must believe. What's God's word? That Jesus Christ came. He was born of a virgin. He lived a life and suffered for us. He died on a cruel cross, but on that third day, he woke up. Because if he had just died and didn't wake up, it was for nothing. But he woke up on that third day with all powers in his hands. We must repent. Repent means to turn around. You know, sometimes we think repent is stop. You know, just like we say, well, I stopped drinking, right? So what are you doing now? Huh? What? Is that a trick question or something? Right? You know, so we must turn around, not just stop, but turn around from it and walk as far from it as you can, because it's, every time you walk away, you walk further and further away from it, and you're walking to the right thing. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You must be baptized in water for remission of sin. You must stay faithful in God's grace. You must come to worship. You must come to Bible study Wednesday night too, if you can. But those of you who can't, God knows. Are you with me? He knows. But just pray for us who are here. Amen? Pray for us to who can come. Continue to pray for us. You must teach. You must be able to teach. You must be a learner. You must give. And above all of these, you must have faith and you must love. Without that, you ain't getting it. Faith and love. Are you with me? Faith and love. You must have faith until death. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. No matter what you do, if you do it without love, it ain't no good. You ain't doing nothing. If you're here and you are a member of the church and you are in need of prayer, you may together stand now and ask for it, as together stand and sing the song that was for us.